Hey, 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 this is the Bachelor Masters, and we're here to talk about Greg.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I am here to talk about Greg. There is so much to say about him.
The whole episode, not just him, but the whole episode was so cringe. And
yeah.
His date in particular was just cringe. I mean, they didn't talk about anything on the whole date that we saw. Could have been edited that way. But they literally did not talk about anything. And then they made out in the rain.
I don't even think it'd be hard to edit around all the nothingness. But, well, I'm glad you mentioned this, Craig. This is the first time I've done it. I thought I would do it a lot. I thought I would do Craig a lot, but I haven't. And
Thank you.
I'm going to go meta on you here because, Craig, have you stopped tweeting? Like, you just do a few and then you just fall off. And I'm wait a minute.
It's been tough. Live tweeting this season has been difficult. I don't know. I don't have the same enthusiasm for each episode to tweet something as I have in the past seasons. I don't know. It's just because Katie's so average, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's I can see that. I'm just wondering if it was something else because we were, that's been my assessment as well. Not that they can always make something entertaining because it's on primetime, but it's just so.
You thought it was nothing. Because I was clicking over to Love Island?
No, I just thought maybe you were getting Twitter was getting you down or something like that. You're not interacting with other people on Twitter.
No, I like other people's tweets. No, it's just yesterday was a down day. That's all. But thanks for noticing. I do want to clear up this Love Island problem, though. Last podcast, I made a point of questioning whether or not Love Island is on at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. on CBS.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And it's not on at 8 p.m. It's on at 9 p.m.
Yeah, but one time it was on at 8. So I was
one time in its entire history. It's on at 8. So that changes things because 9 is when I start my going to bed routine. Mm. So I'm not going to stay up till 10 watching Love Island.
I believe me that it's best on at 9 because that is not
right, because they can swear.
Bed show. Well, it's more you're watching it. It's happened to me where I thought I wouldn't care, but my kids see glimpses of stuff and they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to explain sex right now. Okay, I'll turn this off. So
I would have no problem explaining sex.
But it's not explaining sex. That's the problem. It's explaining sexuality.
Yeah.
And
flirtation.
Right.
That seems easy.
Is that person wearing this? And
That's easy.
No, it's not easy because it's socially complicated.
No.
If it was just
it's
sex.
Only because adults make it complicated because they themselves are embarrassed by it. If you're not embarrassed by it, it's easy to explain.
It's not the embarrassment. It's the gigantic social construct. It's like, here's a show where you can see two people being more or less happy or into each other or whatever. And then someone else comes on it. And then that stops. And that's confusing for a kid who's only seen a parental units, know? Right. They're right. Does that happen? That's complicated.
The way you explained it wasn't complicated. Anyway, look, Love Island is on at 9.
Yeah.
Not 8, which is why I don't watch it. But tweeting is down not for any. There's no great conspiracy as to why I'm not tweeting as much this season. It's just I just don't get the same. I got to tweet about that. There's no I mean, what am I going to tweet?
You don't have the same passion and fire anymore.
Well, for instance, for Greg's date, what am I going to tweet for Greg's date? It was literally nothing. And then what I did tweet, I tweeted, quote, Greg's speech makes no sense. That's what I tweeted. Because it didn't. When he sat down at dinner for their dinner date portion, he's like I have no idea what he said. Do you have it on a clip?
Kind of.
All I remember is vocal fry and him looking like he's going to fall asleep.
Okay, wait. Right there. I'm starting to feel, because I didn't feel it at first, and I think me and Caitlin were kind of not feeling it at first. I don't think he has vocal fry. I think he has a low register that can go into a fry when he lies, but it's not exactly vocal fry the way it's forced by some men. Dylan.
Okay. Whether it's technically vocal fry or not, it's still awful. Irritating.
Yeah. Okay. I can
Easier.
See that.
Are you saying he has a lie fry?
Yes, he does. He has like a up. He goes into a new register when he decides he's confused. He's acting confused. Does that, have you heard that?
I don't know that I've noticed the difference in his register that much. Partially because, like Craig, sometimes I tune out things that Greg says because it is a little boring at a certain point. But I do remember very distinctly one thing he said because I thought it was weird. And it was about his sister telling him that his, like, lack of confidence is the most unattractive thing about him.
That's something that... I want to go into all of that because... that is very layered. That has layers upon layers.
There's a lot in there that's unusual.
Yeah. Can we pause on that? Only because I want to show you guys what true, unfiltered, unadulterated excitement sounds like.
When he said Greg, I could not believe it. Yeah, I'm ecstatic right now. All I can think about is just, you know, spending more time with her. And I'm glad I get that chance today.
Wow.
Yeah. That he's glad he gets that chance today.
If I've heard excitement in my life, it's that. He just sounds smug and proud. Like, he does not sound... Okay, so we're at a consensus that I think he doesn't like her. That much.
I think he might like her a little, but he's certainly not at the same. She seems like the vibes I was getting during this date from her was that she was almost at a Claire Dale level of like running out of there with him, right? Like that she's like, this is the one, essentially. And his vibes back to me seem much more like, yeah, she's cute, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he wants to win.
I think he likes her, but I think I've come around to EZR's point that he thinks he's too cool for school, so he's not going to jump up and down about her because that's uncool.
Well, right. So unpause that conversation to conclude my hypothesis in the opening, my first podcast that for the season, that Greg knows he's good looking, knows how the show works. He's in it for those bad reasons. I predict he wants to end up with the mega supermodel type, like a Kaylin. But he plays
like
dumb.
A Kaylin.
Yes.
Kaylin.
10th season.
That's not who I think of when I think of us.
I know that's like, that's not your type maybe, but that is like the hottest of the hot for Bachelor Nation. You know that. I'm speaking objectively. I hate Kate. Like I viscerally have like a, whenever I see her face, she is just like a liar. Like her personality makes her extremely unattractive to me. Like I could think she's a pretty girl, but she's just such a bad person. We've seen it time and time again. Right. But my problem here too, is that Greg plays dumb so badly. He does know how the Bachelor works, and saying you're bullied and that's why you're so unconfident. That's like so classic.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, I was thin when I was younger, so you know I got bullied."
Yeah. Whoa, like, okay. Big.
Right. Yeah, that's like okay. A lot of people have that exact life experience, and yet do not go on to continue to remember their sisters. insults about what's least attractive about them years later.
Right. And a sibling telling you, talking to you about your attractiveness is what?
Yes.
Is
yeah, I, ooh.
I mean.
That jumped out at me too.
But, okay, either it's weird, it's true, and it's very weird and gross. Or he's just such a bad, he's just not smart enough and not confident enough to create like a real, not confident enough, not smart enough and not creative enough to come up with a really good backstory that is believable. Because I do not believe that he hasn't been good looking his whole life. Let's just say he was scrawny. That was cute when he was growing up. Like, I bet. Don't you think? He's, yeah. I think he's lying. I think he's like, I don't think I, for, okay. To like start my my baseline that he's lying is that I bet you he knows how The Bachelor works. He keeps acting like he doesn't. He looks like exactly the kind of man who would tact, like, you know, try to go on with a mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That all makes sense. I think there's no disagreement here.
Yeah. Okay. So here's why I say that. There is a bigger part I want to get to here when it comes to Katie, because he could have gone on and it could have been a woman with that everyone, like we talk about this sometimes. There's bachelorettes and bachelors, but let's just say for the sake of this conversation, there's bachelorettes that men are just gaga over. And then there's bachelorettes like Katie that some men will like, but not all.
No, see,
Craig,
despite we've had this argument before.
I know we have, but
you've flip-flopped.
Look at all these men. Look, these men are not that interested in her.
No, I disagree. I think they are that interested.
Group of men.
No.
You really, like.
You flip-flopped. Like, you thought that she was, like, high-end caliber
the season started. Before the season started, I said the same thing you said. I said she has too much of a girl next door thing to drive them gaga. I've always thought that. I thought she was a deeper person that could elicit a lot out of men. But turns out she's not.
Right. Well, that's true.
So I don't think I flip-flopped. But let me tell you why.
Flip-flopped is a very difficult phrase to say. Flip-flopped.
Let me tell you why I feel like the Greg thing is very strange.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Where were we going with that?
Well, that
changed the subject.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's what I'm just trying to get to this thing.
Okay.
So I'm getting. Okay. I don't understand why you, Katie, would want someone that you feel is so out of your league. If that was me, I would be constantly, and she does it too, constantly questioning and making sure that, like, wait, are they okay with me? And it turns into a ball of, like, unattractive behavior, right?
Right.
She's constantly questioning whether he is into her or not and getting reassurance for him. And, you know, maybe on The Bachelor, it's cutesy in the beginning, but it is not going to last. So here's the kind of, she does this every episode with Greg, but here's it again.
I'm so thankful you showed up here on the first night. Seeing you come out of that limo, like, I knew this was definitely out of your comfort zone.
It was hard.
But, like, I've never had this before.
It was hard.
I think the same way that you're scared, I get scared. Today, I just hope, like, you felt what I felt and can feel more confident in what we have.
Constantly needs reassurance. Don't lose interest in me.
It was hard.
Yeah, it's not hard for them because he's playing a little role. I don't think it's vocal fry in that instance.
You know, that's as low as my voice can go.
Telling him, don't give up on us. Well, Craig, despite your annoyance of his voice register.
No, there may or may not have been vocal fry in that specific thing he said, but it's just so lame.
Yeah. Well, I just don't understand liking someone that you, despite how good looking they are, that gets old, doesn't it? Like the universal question is, doesn't it get old to like someone that you think, that Whether he is above her league or not, that's not the question. Is how she feels about it.
Yeah, because there's no question.
She's worried he's going to leave, right? She said it again to him this episode, and she said it a couple of weeks ago, too.
Does it every single time she talks to Greg?
Yeah, he is probably going to leave. Like, that's what's going to happen. But I think what might be going on here, EZR, to your point of, like, why would you want someone who does not seem like they are really that into you, that you think is out of your league? I think that might be part of the appeal here for her, right? Is that maybe she likes him more because she's not getting as much assurance from him as she gets from some of the other men. Like, that she likes the hard-to-get vibe of him, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, he might leave, mm-hmm. and for some reason that is more attractive to her.
But he is incredibly good-looking.
She said incredibly.
Incredibly to me, good looking, and I've told you this since day one. For me, he is incredibly good looking, and so that's the difference. Is that I would think that was true if she doesn't, you know, that kind of gets discounted when she probably thinks what I think. Like, just playing hard to get is not enough, because she let go lots of men that weren't interested in her, you know? But this guy is, yes, incredibly good looking.
No.
I'm the cishet woman here. So is Caitlin. But yes, Craig, I've told you. He is.
But look, to Caitlin's point, she can't be attracted to him because he's playing hard to get, because they haven't spent enough time together for him to play hard to get. All he's done is his little puppy dog eye routine and answering her questions. I'm not disagreeing with you, Caitlin, that that's a possibility, but I'm just saying, I just don't see how it could develop like that, because they haven't spent any time together. I mean, it seems like, I don't know what's going on with these group dates, but it seems like they all spend a lot less time with each other this season and in past seasons.
I don't think it's, yeah, and like, you know, I don't know. I just don't think it's hard to play hard to get when you're on a show that's literally about, like, getting their time and getting their attention.
Right.
I don't think that's attractive to her. Like, she maybe likes like a conquest, because she loves being showered with praise, and he doesn't seem to do that often, because he's plays dumb and aloof. But so back to my original hypothesis, was that he's pretending to not know how attractive he is, but he actually knows how attractive he is. Yes,
right.
I have decided that, yes.
Right.
It's, you know, it's so funny. I know you guys haven't seen, Ben F, I don't remember his last name, Flajnik season, on this guy's season, the clear head and shoulders above everyone else was a legit model. Everyone else was more of a normal bachelor woman of the old guard, and the fact that this guy was like, oh, I could be with a model,
right.
And that was it, and there was no season after that. This is right. That, and so it's very frustrating to watch, because why would you want, like, at a certain point that gets old, right? Because you're thinking, are they gonna leave me, they're so beautiful, wow, they're like, I can't believe I can be with a model, like, you know, you're not questioning, like, what's actually happening there. Because if I was Katie, I'd be like, no, something's up here. You know, you are on this show for some other reason.
Well, what if he actually likes her, and you would talk yourself out of that possibility?
We're watching the show, and I don't feel like he likes her. He likes her, Caitlin, okay.
Caitlin, do you think he likes her?
It's hard to say. I think because the way their conversations go and then the way his like to camera interviews go is, yeah, he never truly seems super excited either vocally or facially expression wise about much of anything. So yeah, it can be hard to tell. I do think that he likes her, but I'm not sure if he's at the kind of level that you would assume you'd be at this stage in the season for like I think legitimately that Blake actually does like her. I feel like he wants to bone her.
But
you know?
Right. Yeah, but
I don't
there's a caveat
get that
there.
From Greg as much, you know.
Like we've said, I think Blake would like anybody. Like he likes just he just likes you if
yes.
you are a functioning like if you are an you know a woman who can consent, then Blake likes you. Like, you know, I think that there is a and you know Greg's game is like 1 + 2 = 3. You know, every time he gets asked about why he doesn't confirm her feelings, his out is always like, oh, you know, there's so many men here. Oh, you know, it's hard to say. I like it. So,
yeah, he's, I have such
lame.
Low confidence. How can
yeah.
I confirm your feelings? It's like, oh, right. Okay. I mean, a lot of people with low confidence are still dating other people. So it's not necessarily disqualifying. You know who else I legitimately believe likes Katie? Is Michael A. I feel it. I think he likes her.
Oh, can't stop thinking about what EZR says, though, where he's looking for a woman to club over the head and drag back to his fortification to raise his children. That's
yeah,
all
so
I can think about. And that's why I didn't tweet much last night, EZR. I can't come up with ways to put that into a tweet.
You don't want to get in a huge fight of like all these broken wing Bachelor watchers, which is the majority of Bachelor watchers, right? People who go, "Oh, that man is a sweetheart." Like that is probably the noise heard like round America at like 8:30, right? Is all the men who are like sensitive. Oh, wow. And they're all testosterone, you know, to put it like crudely, like alpha male types. But for some reason, women find this like sensitive side on this show. But anyway, yeah. So
I'm one of them. I'm one of those women who are elimination being like, oh, I love him.
Well, to just round out Greg, I predict he wants to end up with a supermodel type. What that means yet, I don't know. Okay, moving on. Michael A.
So
here
do you
is,
think, quickly before we move on to that he's kind of a Tyler Cameron in that he sees his trajectory as he'll leave this show and he could date somebody like Gigi Hadid?
I think it's more like a Dean who is also Caitlin. I do not find him attractive, but I realize that a lot of women would and consider him.
Oh.
And
Dean
and
is
not.
Hot.
Yeah, yeah. See.
No. We've been over this.
You can't say no, Craig.
Yes, I can. We have been over the Dean thing so many times.
Yeah.
But I am unrelenting.
Okay. Well. Okay. So Michael A. said something.
Well, hold on.
That related to what you said, Craig. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we've closed the book on Greg just yet.
Oh, okay.
Back to your point, Caitlin. What was your point, Caitlin?
I think we did close the book on Greg, and for some reason he wanted to return to the book. You're like Katie. You're so obsessed with Greg, you can't stay away.
So.
I brought up Michael as a comparison to say that I do not feel the same level of interest from Greg towards Katie as I do with some of the other guys. Like, and then we're saying like, oh, Blake obviously is into Katie, but it is Blake, and he is into every woman that he has ever seen or met. And then I also said I thought that Michael was into her.
Yeah, I think. See, the problem is that Greg overplayed his hand because he's going to win, and you can't win and then go on a spree of dating supermodels. You know what I mean? Like
no,
he's stuck.
He
like,
will
look
work
at,
it out.
Nope,
he will do it. He doesn't. He will do it.
See, Tyler worked.
He's not smart enough to like create
like
a arc. Yeah. No, but Greg is not smart enough to create like a narrative arc where it makes sense. He will figure out a way. Where I think Tyler is evil enough to, he doesn't care. He just went for it. Remember, he slept with Hannah Brown one night and the next night was in New York to meet right. up with Gigi Hadid. Like,
right. Oh my God. Yes, I remember that.
But he is untouchable in Bachelor Nation. He's right. fine. Why? Who knows? He's a complete womanizer. He does whatever he wants. He's like he is like an evil like genius in the Bachelor franchise world. And yet right. he gets this like clean slate. Like he is untouchable.
Right. Okay.
It's okay. because he's hot. That's what I'm right. saying.
Women fight
That's
him.
What's going on. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
damn those hot guys.
God. Some hot guys can get away with anything for sure. Right. So, yeah, Michael A said something that I really hope Bachelor producers made him say, because the way he says it is kind of fragmented, which made me think it was remembered instead of genuine. Okay. So here it goes.
I can't be anybody back home if I'm not happy. And I do believe that Katie could make me happy. Not just me, but James as well.
Yeah, I remember that. So it's an right. odd thing to say, because it's like, well, you're not happy now, right? Is that what we're supposed to take from that?
We're supposed to take that he's not happy without a partner, which is right. not true of so many single parents. You can't be your full self with your kid if you're not happy is I mean, there's a lot there too. I think we've had this conversation before, Craig. I know we have. I cannot overstate how strange I think it is that Americans place so much attention and like stress on the state of happiness. I think it is downright obsessive strange.
Right.
And I mean, if something like that were, I can only talk about me as a parent right now, and I don't want to, like, it's not where I want to go, but I feel like if I don't say that, I have no authority. If that were to happen to me, I would be really happy with my two kids
right.
and not a partner. I don't. And even if I wasn't, even if I was struggling, I would work really hard to get them where they need to be academically and emotionally and mentally. And that would be fruitful. Happiness, I don't really care that much about it. Like, it's fine. I'm mostly a happy person, but maybe that's why I don't care about it. But
I mean, you only live once.
I don't know what that. See, you are obsessed with happiness. You are obsessed with hedon. You are a hedon, like in that way.
You only live once.
I don't know what that means.
Our lives are halfway over.
Well,
I die. What
is
it? Means.
So I like. I like interesting times, not happiness. Like, I don't understand that. I never will.
Then you must have loved the Trump presidency.
I thought the meltdown on both sides was hilarious. So yeah, I'm genuinely generally pretty happy. Like, this is hilarious. Like, everyone's like freaking out. Like, the daily freak out is hilarious. Like,
right. Well, some of us take antidepressants in order to make life bearable. So there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on that train too. And since I've started doing that several years ago now, I am often around people where, like, I will notice their behavior and I'll be like, huh, you know what? You probably seem like you need to be on an anti-anxiety or anti-depression kind of thing, because I could tell you as a person who's on those, it would fix some of your problems.
But what problems?
Well, life. I was recently with some coworkers where we were going to do a conference presentation together, and it was a kind of conference where it's pretty casual to begin with, like, you don't need to really formally read out a paper. And they wanted to rehearse our talk like 5 times and kept on coming over with contingency plans. Like, what if somebody loses power? Who will cover their section of the top? What if, like, and I was just like,
they would hate me.
You need anxiety meds, honestly, because I take them and I'm worried about a lot of stuff all the time, but I'm not as worried as you are, you know?
I rate my conference talks on the subway going to the venue.
So what is the, based on your guys's, you know, like, you guys are concerned with happiness enough to take medication for it. What is your read on that? What he said? That is, like, it's not strange to
Yeah, it is very, well, it's strange to lock your happiness up in someone else. That's what they teach you when you go to therapy.
Yes, exactly. And the thing that jumped out to me as being unusual about this, that part of the sentences that you played, UZR, is when he said the phrase, "I can't be anyone at home if I'm not happy." And I was like, "You can't be anyone," is a very interesting phrasing, because something about that just kind of jumped out to me as saying, like, yes, I would like to be happy in general. And if you're the kind of person who feels like you're your best self in a relationship, then I can see how you would tie that into being part of your happiness. But yeah, just the phrase, like, you can't be anyone, like, you're nothing without a partner. And I was like, ooh, I feel like, yeah, that's just that's an unhealthy way to think about it.
Well, right. Like, I think, you know, as you get older, you don't really mind so much not having a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner sometimes. And he's never learned that. And so I agree with you guys in that he needs to work, which is what we said earlier, right? He needs to work on himself way before he gets where he thinks he is now.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen. I mean, that's what he should do. But he's going to come off the show and get so much winning. So much winning. He's going to be sleeping with a new woman every week. So.
I get what he's saying. He's just trying to make The Bachelor make sense. I hope being on The Bachelor making sense.
Well, no, what he said makes perfect sense. It's just wrong from what a perspective of what a therapist would tell you. And then there's what he should do. Mm-hmm. And then there's the reality of what he's going to do. He's going to have women throwing themselves at him.
He's in Ohio, so it's going to be complicated. But from what we've seen on this show so far, my read is that Katie is not picking Michael, right?
Right.
He might be top three, or he might be top four. We'll see how it plays out.
Don't sleep with this man, Katie.
Well, he is top four. I mean,
please, but that doesn't mean he's sleeping with him.
Yeah, I'm like, please do not have sex with him. Please do not. I mean, I feel like she shouldn't have even brought him to top four, knowing
that she's
not going to pick him. You know what I mean?
Producer pick, because we have to meet the kid, because they have to set it up for next season.
It makes me feel so bad, though, because you know that, like, he set this up in his head as, like, as a person who has not basically ever dated anyone other than his deceased wife, who has never been an adult who's single. Now he's sort of putting his eggs all in this basket of being like, oh, Katie's the one who's going to make me happy. Like, this, the whole time watching this episode, I was like, oh, my heart hurts for you, knowing that, like, you're going to feel very hurt in an episode or two, basically, you know. But I'm like, please don't bring him to Fantasy Suites and have sex with him and make it worse, you know.
I really think it's a there's cahoots going on. They're all in cahoots until the Fantasy Suite, and then I really can't say, like, that's where I feel for him. Before that, like, I feel like he's in on it. You want the camera crew to come and meet the kid. That is, I feel like he's in on it until there.
Yeah, we got to meet the in-laws too.
Yeah, exactly. Who want him to get?
It's gonna be so weird.
Yeah, that's a weird vibe to be like. It's not your potential in-laws that you're meeting, but the other person's old in-laws that you're meeting.
My goodness. Anyway, okay. Anything else on Michael A?
stay in contact with any ex-boyfriend's parents?
I actually do.
Oh, there you go.
And yes, my most recent exes, I'm still hang out with his sister sometimes, and I do occasionally talk to his mom, because honestly, I just really liked his family. Like, I don't speak to him at all, ever, but I do speak to members of his family.
I think that's more common than we think.
Yeah. It is, except in this case, there's no... she's never coming, you know, like, that's the rough part, is that sometimes when you hang out with someone and the reason you know each other is through a dead person, you're always waiting for that person to show up. And so I don't think they... That emptiness, they're trying to fill it real fast.
Right.
And it's the same thing we're saying, is that he's just moving too fast for what should be done.
This does remind me, very quick tangent on that note, speaking of staying in touch with ex's parents, I actually lived with an ex's mom for a period of time. And we were broken up at that point in time, right? It was just...
That's pretty fascinating.
Like, the ex wasn't living there. It was basically right after undergrad. I moved to DC because I had a paid internship here. And the ex grew up in DC and was like, why don't you just live with my mom for a few months? Huh. And I was like, that's weird. Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And the mom and I just lived together and we got along.
What a cool guy, right? See? He seems like a cool guy. He doesn't get hung up on
okay.
stuff.
I'd say, like, we're still friendly now, but it was
good friend.
The very shortest version is it was complicated because we then redated after that. But occasionally I do talk to his mom still as well, because we live in the same area. So sometimes it'll be like, hey, do you want to get a coffee or something? And because we live together, it was like, well, I know her better probably than most of her kids' exes do.
Right.
Yeah, I was living in his childhood bedroom, but he wasn't living there.
Okay, that's funny. I don't consider anyone in from undergrad as being an ex. It was just too crazy.
Craig, I mean, you're like to hear the other side of that.
I'd like to
hear the women.
we got to track him down and get him on the podcast. That'd
oh, dear. You don't want that.
Sure,
I don't think you
do.
Want that. Okay.
I'm
thought
sure
you were trying
I
to make your mental health better.
Asshole. Yes.
Yes,
I need to make
exactly.
amends. I need to make amends.
Yeah. I feel like we should have played Craig's song. It
was
just too
was
crazy
just
of a time.
It up. I was
too
just...
many women here.
Queuing it up right now.
No,
Andrew.
No. It wasn't me telling the story. It was Caitlin telling the story.
No, it was you being like, this sounds interesting.
Yeah. Like, I don't even count my college exes as exes because it was just so there was so much dating, so many people.
Well,
I
no, it was just, it wasn't even that. It's just, there was just too much going on in life and growth.
Craig.
And,
it sounds like you were in like a pit of pillows and a bunch of naked women are like piling on you. Like that's the way that's where
exactly.
my brain goes when you said what you said.
Not exactly.
It's just such a crazy time, you know.
Who's the next? Anyway, Andrew. Okay. But this doesn't require much, right? The end of the show was so pointless. The whole thing was just ego stroking for her, totally leading him on. I mean, saying I can see moving with you and our kids, and then cutting him the next day.
Yeah, that one made me feel bad for him too,
right? So she's playing a game. It's so funny because they try to show us this pointless, boring thing of them like finding closure, chasing each other, weirdly kissing, him kind of deciding that he didn't want to come back, even though he came back.
This is dramatic.
It made her look bad. And I'm sure some people didn't find it made her, I'm sure some people found that it did not make her look bad. Like I thought it really did.
Well, Jay in LA had a few things to say about this on Twitter, but I mean, he thought it was all a play for him to be the next Bachelor. Like, this is the perfect exit for him to then take up the mantle of being the next Bachelor. That's what Jay and LA thought. I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, right? The big question mark was the handwriting on the card his handwriting? Right? Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Like all they had were black Sharpies.
I think it might have been because it looked different than the date card handwriting right. that they usually do. So it could have actually been his because it was not that like girly block print they usually do for the date cards. So maybe, I don't know. This whole thing was interesting to me because, well, yeah, first on the group date the day before where she's giving him all of this validation and encouragement and then does not choose him at the rose ceremony. And then they have a goodbye there.
Dun, dun, dun.
But then he comes back and they have like another goodbye in the room, but then he also leaves the note. So it's a third goodbye. Right. And then she chases after him barefoot. I don't know if you noticed that. Not wearing any shoes as she runs through the hotel.
I'm cool with
because
that.
I guess she was not planning to chase him, I'm assuming, is what's going on there. And like jumps into his arms and it's all super dramatic. And then she like offers to keep him around somehow. And I think he was right to say no to that, actually, because I mean, at that point, she didn't choose him the first time. She's not going to choose him in the next cut. So why would why would you choose to stay then knowing that she'd already decided there's at least three guys in front of you, if not four, technically, you know, like she was like, maybe one of them could go before you. But still, you know, you're not going much further if you do go further. So it makes sense. But it was a little confusing because the card says, you know, basically, like, if you ever need me, I'm here. Come find me. And then she's like, I do need him. I'm coming to find him. And then he's like, actually, I guess that was a thing for if several years in the future you need it. Because right now, if you're asking me to stay, the answer is no.
Right. The card says the card says something. And then when you actually execute the card, I'm going to say no anyway. Yeah.
That was an interesting moment. I mean, where
why she went
I think
after
he
him
didn't
so
think
weird
she would
anyway.
Chase him.
Yeah.
Like, I think
of course
what happened
not.
Was
who would?
He thought it would be a moment of being like, they leave on this kind of nice note of being like, yes, he's holding a torch for her. Yeah. But he didn't expect that her reaction would be like, wait, come back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a world where nothing is ever sincere, I thought it was very sincere and a kind of a nice, clever moment when he shows up at her hotel room because he's just like, well, I thought it'd be better if we ended on a happy note. And I'm like, yeah, there you go.
That is nice.
That is true, but isn't the whole thing insincere? Like, she said something that wasn't true to him, so she's playing the Bachelor game. She's playing the producer game where she's like, just have open conversations as if everything's fine so that no one knows who's going to get cut. So she's definitely, you know, there's instances throughout the season where she has done what the Bachelor producers have told her to the detriment of her character and to, you know, you're hurting people along the way because it's TV. And then him too, he's like, if you ever wanted to like love me again. And then she's like, okay, no, you know, it's so weird.
Yeah. It was well, the card. The card was over the top.
Yeah, she didn't have. It was like, oh, he did not mean that. Like I was, yes, I like that, Craig. That they were like, let's make this not sad.
Right.
But at the same time, it feels more almost like The Graduate. Like the
well, if we hadn't given her the card, it would have been that. It would have ended on a nice, friendly moment. But the fact that he brought the card.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, that chain that
something
messed everything up.
Strange. In that card really triggered a reaction in Katie that
she's like,
nobody
oh,
saw coming,
it has
I guess.
A smiley
right?
face. Yeah, exactly.
Smiley face. And she was like, I can't lose him. Yeah, that was.
And
was
what, was her, what was her tactic there? She was going to run after him, and then what?
said what she said. Yeah, she's like, maybe if you'd like to, you could maybe hang out more time. Like, I was like, well, this is the most half-assed.
Get through.
Yeah, they're both. There was nothing on either side. Why even pretend to try? That was the frustrating part.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Greg is bad news. Michael A. needs intensive therapy. If I was her, and I was a over my hormones smarter woman, I would pick Justin. He is totally fine. He's great. I think he's cute and interesting, and he seems funny, and he seems very, very mature.
Mature means what? He's quiet most of the time?
No, yeah. He has said some things throughout the season that...
You just like his eye rolls attention. At the beginning.
Yeah, I like his expressiveness for sure.
Yeah.
But I think he has something. If they wanted to work these editors/producers, they could make him a good, interesting guy. They're just not doing it. But there's something there. He seems so funny and like normal and smart and everything. And he is just her third pick for no reason. Like she does not deserve him.
Well, it breaks our... Our not our theory it breaks our, you know, where the third pick is the I want to sleep with you pick, I want to have sex with you pick, because he's not that.
Right.
That's I think true. The I want to have sex but with he's, you he's, pick would have been the Andrew.
Good, he's the good catch. Mm. No, right. You're in your theory. Blake is the sex.
Ugh, no.
I mean, she absolutely God, wants no. to have sex with Blake. That's not yes, even a question.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't agree with it, but you're right.
Blake's not number three. He's number two. Right. You know what I mean? That's what I think. So it is unusual because normally the one that you're like very interested in boning, so you take as a third. But yeah, I think Blake is higher than third. I think he's number two in
just,
her ranking.
Just imagine being a cishet woman, and you have access to every guy, every type of guy imaginable. And the guy that you pick to have sex with is Blake.
I mean, it's not the choice I would have made out of these group of men. I'll tell you what. But yeah, I feel like to me, Andrew would have made so much more sense as the sex pick because he's cute. Like,
he's
I
very
get that.
Cute. Athletic. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I really loved, actually, about Justin? Well, there's a few things to like about Justin, but on that group date, the art date, Katie leaned over and she kissed Andrew in front of all of them, which was weird. Right. And they immediately showed Justin's face. He literally looked to the camera like he was on The Office and made a like, whoa, what was that kind of face that he specializes in.
Yeah, they could flesh out a better personality for him, but there's little peaks here and there. I feel like he has more to him than they're allowing because they have these arcs they have to complete and they're not very good at carrying out, but like he could have something. I just, they're not letting him.
Well, what so do you think of Justin's art on the date? He is an artist.
And well, he's thing... also, he's an artist, but he's an investment salesman.
That's true. The art that he made on that date was bad.
They just ran out of time. Like,
I guess so. But yeah, the stick figures. And then he brings a painting to the evening portion that he clearly must have made far in advance because it's actually finished.
Yeah. I mean, I can see running out of time. I think any artist, you can't just, I mean, he's just not good at like the 7-Up stick figure guy. He's just good at like detailed nature.
Roses.
Yeah. Those stick figures. Yeah. Roses are his specialty, legitimately. That's what he focuses on, I think. He's because still he keeps life on showing
nature
roses.
Guy. Yeah.
And it'll be like, does a good rose. But yeah, I was very intrigued by all of the art on this date. First of all, Michael A. sculpted a butt.
Right, yeah, that was strange.
It's an interesting choice, and whatever Blake has illustrated was, of course, black bar fully censored out, so we'll never
know. Yeah, there are no... This is the sex thing that I'm like, what could it be? And I figure all of America knows except me. But no, right? No one
knows. You're you're not the only one in the dark because
it's probably I've been
wondering about it, well, right?
They said something like it's a natural act or something like that, right?
So yes, maybe it's clearly
two stick figures.
It might be that, but the confusing part when he described it, so it's obviously some sort of sexual act because he said something about like the birth of new life and, you know, so I was like, it's a sexual act, but then he says it's something that only humans can do. And if it was just having sex, right, like all mammals do that, you know,
he meant that it's like casual sex or like sex for pleasure is something humans and dolphins do. Like he meant that, right? I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, I'm dying over the like description being like, it's a sexual act, but purely for recreation. But again, it could also be the birth of new life. Just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's some sort of sexual thing, but we will not know the exact sexual nature of the illustration because the they didn't even show part of it. The full thing was censored. Right.
Okay. Right. Well, I actually have fashion stuff, but real quick, Mike P.
Oh, we got to talk about Mike P.
Oh, you know, here's another one. Just like Justin, I feel like they're trying to make, well, not unlike Justin, I feel like they're trying to make Mike P. look like a creep. But the way they edit him, you know, he said it himself. He's like, he said he looked like a drug lord. I thought he looked like a cult leader. Like, I think he was in on the joke and all the weird mom stuff he kept saying. It feels like he made one little comment and the producer's ears perked up like we could really push this. Because he kept uncomfortably saying more and more stuff that sounds like he didn't really want to say. And I
agree, EZR. And here's why. Mm-hmm. Because I could see how maybe he only mentioned the mom stuff a few times and that's the only thing that got shown. But one of the things he did as they were cuddling, he whispered in Katie's ear that you remind me of my mom, which is absolutely the worst thing you could say in that moment. And it was not the only time that like there's like eight mom things he says, but the worst to me is the ear whispering.
Remind me of my mom. It's a weirdly...
You take on people's feelings. And I was like, I gotta die right now. I need to kill myself because it was that uncomfortable.
weirdly incestuous episode, like Greg's comment and this comment. But I do kind of think that he was pushed there by the producers. Like, why don't you tell her that? Because he does not... He had the air of being pushed. And I don't say this as a defender. I say this as someone who looks like a victim to me. As a veteran of reality TV. I'm not positive. But the way he rambled it through... The way they edited it, where he was saying something and they couldn't show the face-to-face camera thing, the way he said it, kind of like, what more do you want from me? Like, that's the kind of feeling he looked like he had. And then, yeah, he said it to her, but it looks like they asked him to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta hope that they must have.
Because if he did that of his own volition, it is one of the worst things you could.
Yeah.
I also got to say, the cuddling date is, it's anything you want it to be, right? But that one move they show where he's lying on his back and Katie is straddling him. It's literally a sexual position. And I thought, and I'm like, I know I'm so far into Bachelor Nation and such a weirdo, but I felt like Blake, I guess, at this moment, that I was like, if he doesn't have a boner right now, he's never going to get one with her because, you know, that's just, it's like literally simulating having sex.
Yeah, see, and this was, as much as they tried to play off, like, no, this is normal. They gave him a ridiculous date. You know, they would not give Greg that date. They give Greg the, like, in the fake rain stuff. They gave them, they would not give Mike P or whatever his name is. I don't know why. Yeah, I feel like someone called him Mikey P. Fireworks. You know, they don't give them, like, a good dinner. do you know what I mean? Like, they're setting him up to look bad, which is part of my, like, they want him to look like a creep. Sure. I don't trust that he is genuinely...
I mean, he was always going to go home at the end of that.
That's true, but he does seem more self-aware than to have said that, and they just took the worst because they want him to make it look like the weird virgin.
Well, he is the weird virgin.
Well, he is because they want him to be. I just don't think it's fair to his character, and it's so funny how they can play with these people, because there was an episode where he was the persecuted Christian. There was an episode where he was, well, where he's this. And I know that there was another one where he was kind of spotlighted in a different way. So he's the malleable one, mm-hmm. you know, like, we're not supposed to remember how we felt when he did this other thing. And I hate that because they think we're dumb. I think that's my, like, takeaway from when they play with someone like this, mm-hmm. you know, and in Bachelor, if he ends up in Bachelor in Paradise, he might get a different cut, which is, let's see.
Well, I'm sure he will be in Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like he probably is going to make that cut, and I would match him up with somebody like Madison Pruitt as a good match.
Right, or Heather, right? Heather.
Yes, Heather Martin?
Yeah, there's plenty of, I mean, the whole point of the show is a Protestant, is making Protestant couples, like, right? And and like I said before, that's fine. Just don't lie to me. And I feel like when they play with these people, even though they're going on a show where they want to be treated, like, I think that's not fair. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's rude. It's mean. And I'm always, especially, like, he seems self-aware, but also innocent, which is, to me, a very good mix. Mm. So I feel bad. Ultimately, I felt bad for him. Okay.
He does seem very innocent in general. And even when Katie goes to dump him, right after the date, and you know it was immediately after because they're still in their, like, all white cuddle session clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell he knew that it was coming from, like, the moment she walked over. But I feel like he probably also should have known it was coming from, like, the week before or that morning, because, I mean, just the way the dates were laid out this week, you knew that Mike P was going, and you knew that Brendan was going for sure, those two. We didn't even mention Brendan, and I found that dumping to be sort of comical in that, mm-hmm. like, him putting on the chapstick before he opens the door is just a very funny move.
There's your Hawkeye thing. They're always wearing chapstick. That's a very blatant. Licking their lips, licking their chapped
yes.
and chapstick.
See, that's not a hot guy thing. That's a creepy guy thing. There's a difference.
But hot guys are not creepy. Out an interesting thing from the Brendan thing outside of the chapstick, and that he did legitimately seem to think that him going to do there would result in him staying. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't seem to have the self-awareness that the moment they had a one-on-one conversation that, like, they would go. But the only person he said goodbye to was Blake.
Well, right. So he is best friends with Blake in the house.
Yep. The Canadian buddy ship that happens there. Canadian buddies.
So it made sense to me that she kept him for, like, I get the feeling Blake's in really good with the producers because he's does whatever they want, right? He, like Justin said it, he doesn't shy away. He doubles down, which is reality TV gold. So he's in good with them. He'll do what they want. And he's like, can we keep my buddy on? You know, the guy's like freaking out. It's his buddy. And then he leaves. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, makes sense.
It is kind of funny. It did feel like it was very odd to me that she had kept Brendan from the week before when there were, like, more interesting men you could have chosen. Mm-hmm. And it would make sense that it was a favor, sort of, to say, like, well, she's not going to keep him anyway after this point, and she wasn't going to keep any of those other guys after this week. So if you're going to take literally anyone, and Blake's friends with the producers and they love him, then sure, give him another few days with his BFF.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I felt like he went to get cut. I don't know why you would have that conversation, because he doesn't look stunned. He just looks like, you're just, stop messing with me, is his kind of air that I got. And I agree. Stop messing. You know, like, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's not in on it. He's like, Blake kept me. You know, he's being chosen by the shadow bachelor.
Yeah, he was chosen by someone. It just wasn't Katie, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, I have fashion I'm excited to talk about.
Woo-hoo.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about the people they're wearing.
That falsetto is really good.
Okay, whatever, Craig.
It First is. Off,
all right.
You know what? That's hard to do.
Let me distract you with something that I think you are going to care about. This is not what I was going to mention, but I don't want you to talk about your singing voice and what would have been. The food waste is disgusting, right? It's so annoying that they're throwing these gigantic fish. That's probably
fish.
Good food. Yeah, it bothers me. But anyway,
I think it was a fake fish. I don't think that was real.
It looked, and they ate, well, they ate the clams. I felt like that.
Yeah, the clams were real.
I thought it was real
large fish.
I thought it was a fish was too, but I don't know.
Huh.
I thought it was real. I thought it was real.
And also the fake rain, we're in like the biggest drought in the Southwest in history. So, you know, all that water that's spraying around.
Okay with the fake rain because it was nighttime, but whatever. Anyway, okay. Here, I'm glad you mentioned the fake
watering
rain.
The dirt, you mean?
Yeah. Well, watering the chaparral or the desert. I have a huge problem that I think is, I want to say it's the, let's see, how many contestants are there? There's 30 contestants, and then there's the Pat, and then there's the lead, and then there's there used to be hosts, and then there's Frank LaCosta. Let's call this the 35th character on The Bachelor that we're missing right now. No leg wraparound for Katie. Why is there no leg wraparound when she kisses any guy? She just hangs like a fish, like a dead fish. Like, have you noticed this?
She doesn't. So she, when she jumps up into a guy's arms, you're saying she doesn't put her legs around the guy.
Right. And Craig, I don't expect you to have been very romantic despite all your conquests.
Oh.
But doesn't that make them heavier? Doesn't that make the person heavier?
I'm going to stop. I'm quitting the podcast. It's over.
Because I'm asking whether a leg wraparound is easier than not a leg wraparound.
I'm not talking anymore.
I'm going to answer and say I think the leg wraparound would make it easier because you'd be sort of hooked onto their waist as opposed to just being held up. She did do a leg wraparound when she chased after Andrew. She did one with him.
Oh, who knows then? Because she didn't do it on any of the like romantic parts, like especially Greg. She is just straight. And it looks uncomfortable. And then I kept thinking she was going to do it. I'm like, maybe she's in a weird dress. No, and then she went on another date. Same thing. It can't just be a dress excuse. Maybe it's a Spanx excuse because it, like, rolls up.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it could be. If the waistband, like, rolls around and you're wearing one of those, it's so hard to get it back into place. So maybe she's concerned about that, or maybe... I mean, that specific move of the leg wraparound makeout that the Bachelor franchise loves to have is not a thing that I think normal people do regularly on their own very much. So maybe Craig, she just had literally no experience with it and was like, you know, she wasn't prepared. She hadn't done enough training to to get into the right, like, here I go, I'm doing
it. Yeah, I don't think it's very common that. The jumping into the arms thing. At least not for me.
About The Bachelor, though, this is always true in every preview for the season.
When has she had a chance to practice?
If I was going to go on The Bachelor, I would subconsciously think that I would need to do it. You get what I'm saying?
Like, you practice on a friend, you ask them to come over and be like, can I just jump into your arms? Can we just
dirty dancing, like, practice things?
Because have you ever jumped into somebody's arms?
Me?
Yeah.
Friends? Yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, that's kind of weird. I don't like making a scene. That feels like you make a scene, like, at an airport or something.
Yeah,
like,
well, I had one girlfriend that did that. And she would do it in the middle of the street. I actually thought it was kind of cool for that reason.
In the middle of the street.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot for the middle of the street.
It's to make a scene, right? It's to do a thing. It's to get attention.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It felt good at the time.
Mm-hmm. But
like, on here TV, you have somebody who likes you enough strange. To do that.
Right, it looks like they're dancing, or it looks like she doesn't quite know, like, how to be human. Like, she's, like, it looks like she's trying to figure something out.
Because she didn't wrap her, like...
Yeah, let's watch that again. She doesn't know
how to be human.
Yeah, she looks like she's, like, oh, yes, I am kissing you now. Like, straight up and down, really straight.
Well, anyway, we have a way to test this, because next week is hometowns, and that means there's going to be four...
Straight up
jumping into arms going on. So we can see what she does.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Pay attention to what exactly happens.
Asterisk.
When she gets into the arms, is there a leg wrap? Is there not a leg wrap? Is she hooking on there? Do they make out
while
she's in the position?
Yes.
What is she wearing exactly? Like, shoe choice, clothing choice.
At one point. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Fine. Okay. She loves a t-shirt and jeans, it appears.
Yeah.
A sweater and jeans.
Now, before we move on, in the previews for next week, they said that there's going to be the hometowns, and then there's also going to be the men tell all.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're getting a Monday, Tuesday thing?
Who knows?
Huh. I'm not sure. We'll have to.
I don't see how they can fit men tell all and hometowns into one 2-hour episode.
I don't know. I didn't see the previews, but don't they normally say, and then later this season? Like,
no, because the voice, who we don't know who the voice is.
Yeah.
kind of made it clear that it was going to be next week.
Mm-mm. Okay. Well, find out soon enough.
Let me take a look. I'm looking it up.
Go ahead. Another reason I like Justin. Caitlin, you said last week how much you like Leopard on any man. I love mustard on anybody. I love mustard on kids. I love mustard on an adult or an old lady or any human with mustard on. And I thought it was a fad that I'd have to get over. I'm not over it, and I still love it, and I will probably die in my mustard cardigan. I have a few of them. I have four of them. So
the fact that I chose
a mustard jacket. Yes, I have four different styled, and every time I see one, I buy it, even though I'm like, no, I'll buy it. He had such a cute mustard jacket.
It was a nice look, I think, also because we haven't seen a mustard look on these men so far this season, whereas, you know, for a long time the salmon pink suit and or just the jacket was like a really big trend for Bachelor men. I've not seen mustard color be a trend like that for them. So it's like a different thing to wear, which is nice.
Yeah. And I do concede that I always feel like it's going out of fashion, but I still will go for it. I feel like it looks like me. Like, I feel like my skin blends perfectly into it. So I'm always like, mustard, huh? I love it. I love it in all its forms. I love actual mustard. I love the color. I love specks. I love when there's this restaurant near me that has like six different kinds of mustards. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that place, because you just get to try it on every single. I can make a hot dog with like little stripes on each one, unrelated to fashion.
Oh my God. Now I'm really craving a hot dog.
Well, according to this thing I'm looking at, next week is Men Tell All, and then the week after is Hometowns. But that would be pretty brutal if that was
And they did something totally, I think anyone in like film 101 would say, oh, don't do that. They like started next week's episode or the next chronological week's episode. They're like, this week we're going into hometowns. I'm like, am I watching the next episode? So bad. That's lazy. Lazy, lazy, lazy. I'm
well, they're all editing from home right now.
Yeah. I'm sure you have fashion, but last thing I have is Michael's ridiculous sweater that he got the rose on that was a gigantic turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
Ew, Jesus.
It was like a little bit of like a cowl neck sort of going on there as well.
I don't care what you've gone through. You are a war survivor. You are cut.
I don't care what you've gone through.
Cut forever from my life. I would not. Ew. Men cannot. I've seen women in that. Craig?
Mm-hmm.
Would you wear that?
No.
Would you see that?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Would you comment on another man who was wearing that?
I already said it was cringe.
Oh, okay, you did? I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Craig wouldn't wear that because it doesn't match well with the zip-off compartmentalized tactical pants.
It's true. Some things don't work
baggy.
With
it. Yeah, there's just too much bag pants. There.
Yeah, yeah it's not
I
a good
I did wear
match.
Turtle. I had a turtleneck when I was probably in college. Yeah, just either in college or just out of college, I had a black turtleneck.
But a turtleneck is different. This is a
style.
This is a scarf built into a shirt.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, it's different.
The one I had was like a legitimate turtleneck.
Yeah, this well, that's a Matt James conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all my fashion.
Yeah, I wanted to point out first of all because this was egregious to me on the Greg one-on-one date. Where they're wearing the matching colors green. That t-shirt was a horrible choice to wear on a date. It wasn't even like Katie clearly loves a jeans and t-shirt combo because she's often wearing that. But the rest of the episode when she wore jeans and a t-shirt, it was usually a little cropped t-shirt. So it was kind of cute, right? This one was, the shirt was too big. It just looked very misshapen and odd. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like the matching color thing was clearly done on purpose by one or the other of these parties in concert with the producers, but it almost made me feel like it was Katie's choice to match. And then a producer said he's wearing this sort of muted green. And she was like, what muted green thing do I have? Nothing, you know, like just this gross pajama t-shirt. I guess I'll wear that.
Yeah. Totally desperate move. Like, oh, see, we're meant to be, obviously. Like, no, but yeah. That's, I can see that being her thinking.
Because she did bring it up, that she was like, oh, we match. Like, it's so, she brought it up twice, I think, on this date. So it seemed to me like it was much more important to her than it was to him. But also, given that the outfit wasn't even cute, is what made me feel like maybe she specifically wanted to wear the matching color. The producer said what he was wearing, and this was the only thing she could find that matched.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be the other way around? Wouldn't it be the job of the date-y to coordinate the clothes?
Well, this is different. Katie is goo-goo gaga
I
for
know.
This guy.
I
and
know.
Greg yes. is doesn't care at all.
In the normal course, when they do a matching and you're pretty sure it's because, you know, somebody asked a producer and then they put it like last season when Michelle and Matt James were the matching colors mm-hmm. on their date, their second one-on-one, I think, where it was like a periwinkle blue kind of thing. I'm pretty sure that was, you know, she asked the producer and they told her and she did it. This time, I feel like it's the other way around. But of course, this is my own personal theory with absolutely nothing to back it up.
No, I think your theory sounds pretty legit to me. It really bugged me that the white, I don't know what you call it, prayer outfit that Mike P was wearing. What do you call that? He's wearing like an all white garb.
Like linen.
Yeah. It wasn't the same color white as the white outfit that Katie was wearing. Hers was more cream colored. It just means that they got them at different times from different places. Bug me. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't bother me, but I would assume that they did get them at different times and from different places just because, you know, I don't know if there's a specific range where it's like, we make these outfits for men and women in the exact same colors instead of, you know, like they were just looking for white outfits that they could wear and they bought pieces at different places or whatever. That that would make sense to me.
Don't they wear those shirts down in Mexico, EZR? Don't they wear, isn't it common to wear a shirt like that?
Those are, yeah, they're like the sailor, the people who like ride the chalupas and stuff have that kind of outfit, but it's not my, I'm not like, I there's lots of different cultures that I know I've seen. I'm like, yeah, it looked like that kind of with like sandals, I guess.
Right.
But like we said, this whole date looks last minute thrown together to embarrass the man. So I can see them throwing everything together.
So somebody had to get the cuddle queen to quarantine for 2 weeks for this date. I mean, I guess she unless seemed... she's a regular employee of the resort.
This is just ridiculous. This just like, let's give you this title. She seemed mean, like rude. Didn't she? I would not be comfortable. Well, first off, that's the most uncomfortable date I can possibly think of on purpose. But the way she kind of was like scolding them or like, what's so funny? I'd be like, okay, bye. I'm done. Goodbye.
Right.
Yeah. So she's like, why are they laughing? This is a serious, sensuous moment. It's not funny.
Yeah. She has a OC teacher vibe. Like, go away. No, I never want to see you again.
The only other piece of clothes I made a note about was the sweater that Brendan wore when he went to go talk to Katie for his dumping was like
the wet
black look. And white, like salt and peppery thing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cute sweater, actually. I like that.
Yeah. It's very fireman in training, I think.
It absolutely is. He's evoking that. I mean, his hair is still... His hair does not give me fireman in training. It gives me, like, I don't know. He's hiding something with that hair. There's secrets in there.
He'd be a really good-looking guy if he had regular
hair. The hair is just a very unflattering choice on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it elongates his face, but his face is already elongated. So it's not a good combination.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's the style he chooses to go with, but... You know, as we've seen at the beginning part of this season, when there were a lot of men with bad hair, that many people choose hairstyles that quite clearly look awful and still go with it.
Exactly. Okay, another good episode. Let's hope that there's more than the men tell all next week. Ugh, that doesn't sound fun. We're going to root for more content. Root for more content, people.
And is that like praying?
I don't know.
Craig?
I just don't remember the men tell all and the women tell all being all that exciting. I don't know. So it's
I like them because they're not live, but they are like they would happen 2 weeks ago, right?
Live so
they're hot. Yeah, they're like they're hot. You know what I mean? Like they're pissed and they are like ready to get on there. Imagine them coming home back to Royd, you know, levels that are acceptable to them. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, they're back on the juice.
Yeah.
And we don't know who is hosting Men Tell All, do we?
No, we don't know anything about it, I don't think.
Yeah, so that's interesting to see. Like, will it be the Tayshia Caitlin combo? Will it be somebody else? If so, who?
That's right. They are really just flying by the seat of their pants.
Okay. Speaking of pants, follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Leave us a review on the Apple podcast app and DM us. So we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I'm